Welcome to Reflection Time, the program that looks at world events and everyday issues through the eyes of the scriptures, and as well shares with you some inspirational music. Welcome to Reflection Time. We're glad you've tuned into the program today. We've named our program today Reflecting Behind the Scenes. Usually when we see things happen or things occur, they aren't always what they appear. There's more to the issue. So we want to look at some of the world events through history and in our own day to see how that certainly applies. But before we do that, we want to share some of our regular features, our Lifeline Health production and our amazing fact. But first, I have this hymn entitled I Will Sing of My Redeemer by Fernando Ortega.
I will sing of my
blood,
against me. On the cross he sealed my pardon, paid the debt and made me free.
The Lifeline production health tip for today will be keeping in line with our theme, which is things are not always what they might appear. We're all aware of the internet and its advantages for us. And I think we're all aware that the problems that can arise from the internet as well. We don't always know who we're communicating with these chat rooms and these other means of communication that we have with the technology. So we certainly have to be careful because it can lead to grave results. So here's some information from Lifeline Productions on this subject.
Are you aware of what sites your children are visiting when they surf the net? This is Dr. Elmar Sakala for Lifeline. As the internet has become more available to young children, they have become more susceptible to internet crimes such as cyberbullying, online predators, and child pornography. The National Center for Missing and Exploited Children has created CyberTipLine.com to increase awareness for safe web surfing. In general, kids should keep their real identity private, never meet online acquaintances in person, and always talk to their parents or guardians about what they're doing online. And parents, if your children aren't telling you, then you have to investigate.
Lifelines, a public service of the Seventh-day Adventist Church, provides practical answers to common health questions. For more free health tips, call 877-LIFE-TIPS or visit vibrantlife.org.
The first practical pair of roller skates was built in 1759 by Belgian musical instrument maker Joseph Merlin. Each skate had only two wheels, aligned one in front of the other along the center of the shoe. The crude design was based on the ice skates of Merlin's day, which were strapped to the shoes. Merlin constructed the skates to make a spectacular entrance at a costume party. A master violinist, he intended to roll into the party while playing his instrument. Unfortunately, he had neglected to master the fine art of stopping on skates. And when the big moment came, he careened through the room and crashed into a full-length mirror, breaking it and his violin. His entrance was indeed spectacular. Did you know that in the near future the devil's planning to make a spectacular appearance masquerading as Jesus Christ? But unlike Joseph Merlin, Satan has been practicing his dramatic entrance for 6,000 years. Have you ever watched the evening news and wondered to yourself, am I hearing the whole story? Is there more taking place behind the scenes than what we're being told? And I think in many instances, for whatever reason, that's often the case. And this issue is also was also experienced in the scriptures. We've got Mario Sarek in the studio here again with us today. And Mario, maybe you'd like to share with us one of these issues that took place in the past, that what was actually being reported actually overshadowed the truth of what was actually taking place.
Yes, Paul, and something comes to my mind is in Luke chapter 2 here, the first few verses. It talks about the birth of Jesus, but also something else was central happening. And we read, and it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city.
So the news of the day was that everyone had to return to their hometown to be taxed. And it says all the world, you know, all the areas that were governed here by this individual were to return to their own home. Mm-hmm. So that was the news of the day. I mean, that was the talk of the town.
Yes. And but at the same time, reading Matthew chapter 2, now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and we come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet. And I thought it's interesting here, two events where, the Caesar is demanding this decree, but also men from East are coming, inquiring of the big event, really.
Mm-hmm. The biggest event that should have been reported on was not being reported because mm-hmm. it was overshadowed by this earthly, global event that was taking place.
Yeah, I found it too fascinating to hear the Pharisees and the scribes did show the king error that in the scripture that mm-hmm. this was supposed to take place.
Yeah.
So they weren't saying, oh, we didn't know about this. They were saying that this is supposed to take place, and they were quoting back the prophecies pertaining to exactly when Jesus was going to come.
Yeah. So it's not that people weren't aware of the major issue taking place behind the scenes. There's people that were aware. It's just it was not reported upon.
Yeah, and we know that there was only few who went to worship Christ besides right. from these wise men.
Right. Yeah.
Some shepherds. And there was very few. That's fascinating. The biggest event, they missed it.
Right. Yeah. So what other events do we know about that took place? We can think of many events, in our own day, within, say, even the past, a couple hundred years, that seem very prominent at the time, but yet behind the scenes there's something even more significant taking place.
Well, I think back in 1989, I guess, not that far back, 20 years or so, we have the big event of the end of the Cold War, so to speak, with the coming down of the Berlin Wall, the East and West Wall, so to speak, the races. And initially it looked like it was a people movement. It seemed to be these solidarity, these unions were coming up. People were standing up and said, enough of this oppression of communism. We want to have freedom. Mm-hmm. But when the news came out, and I think everyone was surprised, realized that there were two major powers behind who was playing the role. And with the Treaty of Malta, it came out, and some books written later that John Paul II and Reagan were the instigator in with money and with power to bring down the communism.
But yet, when the event was taking place, none of that was reported on.
No, it was came afterwards, how prominent they were playing this role, even though it looked like it was more from a grassroots, that there was a people thing, a people movement in making this to come about.
Right, right.
Because we think about back in Hungary and Czechoslovakia, where the Russians just walked in with their tanks and just, there was an upheaval tried that time, but it wasn't successful.
Hmm. So we've seen other instances, going back to scriptures as well. We know that when God is about to do something, Satan tries to stifle it. Satan tries to overshadow it. Maybe a skirmish will rise over here, or an event will take place over here, which people will focus on and divert their attention away from what's actually taking place, scripturally based. Mm-hmm. Because, God gives us clear, definite timelines as to things that are to take place. Some of He doesn't give us timelines, but He points to, issues that are to take place.
Mm-hmm.
And I know when we go back to, say, the mid-1800s, 1830s, there was a big event that was, to take place. Satan was well aware of it. Maybe we'd like to discuss that one, just to how Satan tried to overshadow that one, how to divert people's attention away from what was actually to take place.
Well, I think I just want to share something, Paul, about Matthew 24, because that's the big chapter. It talks about the signs of end. Destruction in Jerusalem, first of all, the disciples asked him, because they show him all this temple, the glory, and Jesus said all this would be destroyed. And they want to know, when was that going to happen, and when was also the time of your second coming going to be? And Jesus gives, the first thing he says, he doesn't give you these signs and so on. He does eventually go into them. But he says, take heed that no man deceives you in Matthew 24:4. So deception was going to be something that was going to be very prominent in diverting people's mind to the actual event that was going to take place. And he warned them about that. Not just one place, even through Matthew 24, many says even the elect will be deceived. You know, they will say, oh, here he is there, or he's in a secret chamber. And Jesus said, don't even go out there because it's a deception. I will not even touch this sinful world. You'll be caught up in heaven with me, right? And he gives us that warning. And I think, you know, when we think of another time prophecies, in Galatians 4:4, Jesus, God says, when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son. So there's a fullness of time that we've been looking at. And in Daniel 8:14, we discussed this before, 13 and 14, there's a time prophecy of 2,300 years of the sanctuary should be cleansed. And not going into all the details, Paul, but that actually takes us to a very prominent date in the world history, and that's 1844.
Yeah. And it's that same time prophecy that we've referred to in other programs that you know, when you look through the scriptures, you know, it pinpoints the time of the beginning of the ministry of Christ. It pinpoints the time that the message would go to the Gentiles, and it highlights all of these, and it all falls in line to the culmination of what takes place in 1844.
Well, just prior to that, we also have in Daniel 9:25-27 that beautifully depicts the time, the ministry of Jesus Christ himself, and that he would be cut off in the middle of that week. And we know when we look at that, you know, that's something that pinpoints not just when he came, but also when he was going to be his ministry, the pivotal ministry and the sacrifice and the cross. But also it shows that another ministry that he's going to do once for all. And we've been looking at that before, and that's 1844. It says the sanctuary will be cleansed, not here on earth, but in heaven. There's a work that's going on since 1844 in heaven, where he is blotting out once for all the sins that people have been repented for of.
Yeah, and it's interesting too when we look at the time prophecies with regards to you know, when it pinpointed the time that Christ would be crucified. You know, what was the news of the day? I mean, you know, the God's people were looking for, you know, earthly deliverance from their, you know, from the Romans at, you know, in that day. You know, they weren't necessarily being focused on the fact that, you know, our Messiah, our Redeemer is here, you know, who's going to give his life for us. No, it's diverted elsewhere.
And the same thing we see today, very prominent evangelical Christian preaching, that there will be an earthly kingdom set up here, that God, Christ will come and set it up, you know, and 1,000 years will be here. You know, misapplying the prophecies and the scripture to divert, you know, Satan is excellent on this deception, taking scripture and bits in here and applying something again that will be a worldly event rather than something that will divert us, our mind from what is really going to take place.
Yeah. So back to 1844,
yes,
when we see the fulfillment of the 2300 year prophecy, you know, coming to fulfillment. You know, Satan is an avid Bible student.
Oh yes.
You know, he has every opportunity to see what's taking place. I mean, he lived in the presence of God for a period of time. And he understands certain things, and you know what, he can understand the prophecies that God gives. And it's interesting how Satan threw a number of issues out there during the 1830s, 1840s, that would really distract people, divert people's attention from what was taking place.
Well, we know that when you look at history, world history, it's fascinating around that time, because on stage, one thing that comes to my mind is we think of you know, evolution idea. You know, coming to fruition with this idea that
With Darwin, with
Darwin,
the origin of species,
exactly,
place just prior to that.
Well, actually, it's interesting, Paul, because I looked into it. It's right on 1844 when he wrote his first draft of this. Because prior to that, he had been traveling around on the Ship Beagle and picking up all this evidence. And he couldn't fully understand. He didn't know genetics, and he didn't, you know, nothing had been discovered to the point. And basically, you know, that was one thing that he started putting this idea that, hey, God did not create everything. So therefore, they put a slant on Genesis. Another thing that popped up, I would say, you know, at the same time, it was a friend, was Karl Marx. And the communism was coming in. Revolutions at the time, right after that time spans, was horrific. We know there were many wars after that as well.
And not only that, but the introduction of communism would close up many of the parts of the world that were reachable prior to that with the gospel. Because, you know, with that, you know, clamping down through communism, closed out many portions of the world where up until then, people could have been reached more easily.
But I, you know, I think in Matthew 24 it brings us, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for witness unto all nations, then shall the end come. That's the crux of the matter. Jesus says, even though these are being closed off for temporary, I will open up sometime and the world will be going there eventually. You know, but again, we see Satan trying to close up at 1844 time span with these new isms, as I call them, isms. You know, there are various isms, rationalism and secularism, and you can go through them, trying to stifle the real message.
Because we see the rise of other, you know, say, counterfeit religious movements during that time period. We see the seed of civil war being sown during that time period. So, you know, take your pick. Do you want to focus on the civil war? Do you want to focus on the religious movements of the day? Do you want to focus on evolution, or, you know, the communism, the uprising of communism? I mean, all these issues were all brought to, you know, about during that time period that were being reported on, but yet very little being said about what was truly taking place behind the scenes. God was saying, I am now entering the most holy place for the heavenly ministry in 1844. The anti-typical Day of Atonement is beginning now. You know, he's asking his people, he's pleading with people, watch, this is taking place. Don't be distracted with these worldly events. Focus on what I'm telling you through the scriptures. But yet Satan is very adamant. He brings these other peripheral issues out that seem very important, you know, are important to a certain degree. But what is the key issue here that is being overshadowed?
Yeah, I think, Paul, we have a text there in the 2 Corinthians that you were discussing early on, that he gives us actually a plan. God warns us that Satan was going to try and do his ultimate deception of all time, so to speak, in trying to deceive the whole world. And what's that, Paul?
Well, Satan is actually going to try to counterfeit Christ's second coming.
Yes, well, that would be the ultimate, you know, ultimate deception of all time.
So, when we look at back at different events that have taken place, and we see how the key issue was never really reported on, let's look ahead now into the future on that issue. Because we know that, you know, Satan was very adamant. You know, he tried to divert people's attention at Christ's first coming. You know, we see through scriptures and through worldly events how he tried to divert people's attention with regards to his work as a heavenly high priest. You know, what does the Bible say with regards to how he will divert people's attention in the last days prior to Christ's second coming?
Well, I think Revelation 13 speaks very much about that. Signs and wonders and miracles. He says even that he will make fire come down from heaven, you know. It reminds me of Elijah, you know, Mount Carmel. So it seems that he's going to take things that are biblical, you know, very biblical very much, and kind of masquerade into miracles and so on. And by sight, people are going to say, this must be Christ, you know.
Because it's interesting, it's not so much the Bible say that, you know, he's going to take people's attention away from Christ's second coming, but it's very deceitful. He will try to counterfeit that.
Yeah, and I think when we talked about religions, when you take all religions, you'll find out they're all waiting someone to come. That's interesting. There's a common thread, all of that. And they all talk about this cosmic Christ, if I want to use the word, you know, some being coming. And they're all saying it's the same person that we're expecting to come. And we know biblically it's not. There's only one that's going to come, and that's Jesus Christ.
Because when we look at the, you know, the world situation around us, we can see there's many elements there that, you know, will cause people to turn back to God, whether it's, you know, the economic situation or the you know, uprising, you know, wars taking place, you know, all these issues, people will say, look, we have to return to God. You know, we've turned from him, let's turn back to him. Which is not wrong.
No, no.
But, you know, Satan is very wise. He knows how to counterfeit that second coming of Christ so that he can deceive people and trying to make them believe that what they're seeing is actually true.
Yes, and I think, you know, that's why there Revelation 14 speaks about, we talked about before, Paul, about the three angels' messages. The last warning message is sent to this world so people will not be deceived. So God has also a plan that people will not be deceived, you know. And one of the things he brings them to back is to fear God and give glory to him. And second one is, you know, here are those that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it pinpoints back to Bible and his word and those who are, you know, searching earnestly for that truth. And God will display that, you know, help them through these times through his spirit.
Mm-hmm. So when it's important that when we see these news events taking place, you know, mm-hmm. the carnage taking place around the world, natural disasters, you know, economic problems, wars, rumors of wars, as the Bible refers it, you know, to it as, we're not really to get caught up in these things, but yet the Lord is saying, go back to the Word,
mm-hmm.
you know, don't be deceived. In Isaiah 8, verse 20, I think it says, if they speak not according to this word, there's no light in them.
Mm-hmm.
So we shouldn't be fearful or distracted by some of these, you know, major issues taking place in the world, but yet focus on what's taking place behind the scenes. Christ is getting ready to come. And he says, in doing so, don't be deceived by any false representations of me. Know what the truth is. Know who I am. Know that I'm coming to redeem my people.
And I think, you know, at the same time, he wants us to be prepared for that glorious event to take us home. You know, yeah. And say, you know, don't be afraid of what's happening around this world. Trust in me, you know, and I'll provide things for you.
Yeah, because he will bring that joy and peace to everyone who is looking for him.
Yes, and despite, you know, he said he will go with you through the trials and tribulations.
Mm-hmm.
And there's another discussion about that.
Yeah.
But again, he will, you know, he will protect you and he will be with you, he says, yeah. No matter what you're going through.
Yeah. And it's his earnest desire mm-hmm. that all would be saved.
Yes.
You know, he's not coming to save a certain group of people or a certain denomination of people, because in the three angels' message, it clearly says, come out of her, my people. He's looking at all people, all countries, all religions, all sects. No matter where you are, he says, come out of her, my people.
Mm-hmm.
Come out of that falseness. Don't be duped into what, you know, Satan is trying to do to you or to, you know, and trying to make you fall for a counterfeit second coming. Be ready. You know, just like the parable of the 10 virgins, be ready. Be one of those wise ones to be ready to meet me when I come to take you home. Well, our first half hour has quickly come to an end, Mario. We hope you've enjoyed the presentation. If you have any comments or questions, you can reach us at radioreflection@yahoo.ca. That's radioreflection@yahoo.ca. Remember this week to take time to reflect on God's Word, and whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, and whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things.